Let me just open in prayer here. Lord, we've had such a wonderful time, and I thank you for it. Lord, I thank you for these women, and I thank you for the time that we've had. I thank you for that lovely dinner with that cool breeze, and Lord, you are so good to us. And Lord, I've had so much fun. I just ask that you bring my focus back to you. Father, I just ask that you give us ears to hear and eyes to see the truth. And Father, I beg you that I would decrease and that you would increase, that you would speak through me powerfully for your purposes and for your will. Lord, I thank you that your word does not return void to you. So Lord, we want to one more time come and ask. We're asking you to speak. We're asking you to show up. We're asking you to accomplish your will. And Lord, I just surrender to you. And I just, again, Lord, I ask you, every heart be prepared to receive your truth. And I ask this most confidently in the name of Jesus. Amen. 1 John 5:14-15. 1 John 5:14-15. That's our verse. And it says, now this is the confidence that we have before him. Whenever we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And then the rest of that verse says, and if we know that he hears whatever we ask, we know that we have what we've asked him for. Basically, that's saying this. If we ask anything according to his will, he's going to hear us. And if he hears us, we're going to have what we ask for. I love this part. I love this part. Here's been my prayer all along, is that we've laid a foundation. That last night, maybe you really came to grips and really understand, I have a Father who loves me. I have a Father who longs to hear me speak to him and to ask him for things. And maybe today I've been praying that your conscience is cleared, that now you're sitting here knowing you have a Father who loves you. There's no hindrances between you and between him. And now you're ready to learn how to talk to him so that he hears you and how to ask him for things that are according to his will. And that is our right as daddy's girls. Every one of you in this room is a daddy's girl if you have Christ as your Savior. You're a daddy's girl. Don't daddy's girls always get what they want? That's what we're going to learn tonight. I love this part. We are going to learn how to be daddy's girls and to get what we want if it's according to his will. Big key word there. Big key word. We're going to learn how to ask for what is his will and to receive it. And that's power. Ladies, that is true power. That's the very power of God himself. Is available to you and to me. The power of God Almighty is available to you and to me. Ephesians 3:20 said, he is able, Ephesians 3:20, I love this. He is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that's at work within us. Women today, I hear so many women say, I want to be empowered. That means you want to be powered from within. Really? You want a new improved version of your weak, ridiculous self? Oh, that's good. I don't want to be empowered. I want to be him powered. Father powered. That's what we need. That is what we need. We are pathetic. We are weak. We are powerless because we don't even know how to pray. We live like paupers. Have you ever heard those stories of these people that are misers and they live in a hovel and they just live in garbage practically and they die and they had $1 billion under their bed or something ridiculous? They live like a pauper when they are a millionaire. Some of us do the same thing. We have everything we need for life and godliness, and we don't even know what that is, and we sure don't know how to ask for it because we are so busy asking for these little meaningless temporary things. We have access to true power. You know what I used to go around saying? Really difficult situations. You know what I'd go around saying? And I meant this from the bottom of my heart. It's ridiculous. Well, I guess all I can do now is pray. It's just pathetic. I've done everything I can, and I've run out of power, and now I'm forced to pray to the God who's perfect and has all the power and resources I need. Are you thinking about what you're saying? All I can do is pray? Hello? That's
that's ridiculous to walk around like that. All I have is Bill Gates' checking account to write checks on. That's all I have. Hello. Your daddy is, he is listening to you. He knows what you need. You have every available resource. And you must pray. You need to pray. You're called to pray. It is your privilege. My greatest growth has come from my prayers because I didn't know any better. I'm convinced it's because I didn't know any better, and he did, and he just led me to do it. I would see something in his word, and I would ask him for it. I would see something in his word, and I would ask him for it. And he answered me. And that's what he wants for all of us. Every single one of you. That's what he wants. Matthew 7, verse 8. Matthew 7, verse 8. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For a few people who ask, receive. Anyone awake? All, or in this case, everyone. Everyone. For everyone. Does that include you guys? For all of you who ask will receive. And if you seek, you will find. And if you knock, it will be open to you. So we're going to look at this first. Ask and you shall receive. We are to ask according to his will, which is according to his what?
Word.
His word. Now let me just clarify something for you. I am not going to address the asking prayers for good hair days and great tater salad and parking places. And I pray for those. I am not kidding when I say to you, I prayed about this ridiculous hairdo today. Because I don't want to worry about my hair, and I'm sorry, that's just the way I am. But I just thought, Lord, I want to be cool, and I don't, not cool like cool, but cool like as in hot, opposite of hot. And I want to just not have to worry about that. That's just ridiculous. And I did pray about that. I'm not kidding. I prayed about great cream gravy a few weeks ago. We had company, and they were wanting. I said, Lord, you know, sometimes cream gravy, or at least mine, turns out well, and sometimes it doesn't. And I said, Lord, I really pray that you'd bless them with great cream gravy. That would be great. So I do pray about those things. I pray about parking places, and but that's not in the Word, so I'm never sure. Well, is that in your will or not? But I do pray about it. But we're not going to talk about that because you already know how to do that. Any three-year-old, anybody have three-year-olds and you take them to Toys R Us? Has anyone here ever had to give them lessons on how to ask for what they want? No, they know how to do that very well, don't they? And so do you. You know exactly how to say, God, I want this and I want that. So we're not going to even go there. And that's okay. You can do that. That is okay. But we're going to talk about different prayers. Asking according to what you know beyond a shadow of a doubt is the will of God, so that you know beyond a shadow of doubt you will receive it. Now that's power. That is power. His word is his will. First of all, some name it and claim it preachers will tell you that as a daughter of the king, you're entitled to live like a queen. And you can have anything in the world that you want. You just see it and you name it and you claim it and it's yours. Many, many years ago, even before I was a Christian, I heard a tape and the man said he wanted a sailboat and his son wanted a speedboat. So they took pictures of it and they put it on their refrigerator. And if I'm offending anybody, I ask you to forgive me, but I do have an attitude about this. And they put it on their refrigerator and they would walk by and they would lay their hands on the boat saying, in the name of Jesus, I receive the sailboat. In the name of Jesus, I receive the speedboat. And of course, they got it, of course, was the end of that story. And you could too if you sent in money to their ministry. I get so angry I could just throw up. We are powerless because we don't even ask for the right things. If you think a speedboat or a sailboat or a diamond ring or a new husband is going to fill that empty hole in your heart, you are sadly mistaken. And there is power available to each and every one of us, to everyone who asks, and we don't even know what it is to ask for it. And so we go around like puny, powerless paupers when we are rich beyond our wildest dreams, and it has nothing to do with a sailboat, a speedboat, or a diamond ring. I'm on my soapbox, aren't I? James 4:3 says, James 4:3, when you ask, you don't receive. Because you ask with wrong motives that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You know what that means? That you may spend it on your will, your desires, not God's. Because you're asking according to your will, not God's. So naming it and claiming it from the world is not it. But naming it and claiming it from the Word is it. Do you see it in the Word? Name it, claim it, it's yours. Do you even know what's in this Word? Do you even know what's in this Word? Is this Word even in you? Ladies, can I have 2 more weeks, Tammy? I need a lifetime to tell you the importance of this Word. Oh, ladies, we don't know what to ask for because we don't know His Word. And if you don't know His Word, what are you in? Y'all are my favorite people in all the universe. Let me give you an example of how I prayed. James 1, verses 2 and 4. James 1, 2 and 4. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Now that got me right there. No, I don't think I count it joy. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, in other versions that says patience. And let endurance or patience have its perfect result that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Now, when I first started reading the Word of God and I would see things like that, my first thought in my head was, well, I'm not patient. I will never be patient. I will never count it all joy in a trial. And then I would stop. And I bet more than half of you do the same thing, if not all of you. We just stop short, very short. You're so close, but so far away. And we just say, well, that's not me. Here's what I didn't know any better to do. See, I didn't like the patience and I didn't like the trial, but I did like the perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Because all of my life, I had felt like I was lacking in everything. And that kind of got my attention. And one day, this is how I pray. I said, Lord, I don't like the trial part. I don't like the patience part. But I do like that lacking in nothing part. And I don't want to ask for patience because I'm pretty sure that's going to bring trials. But if that's what it takes to be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing, that really interests me. Now that is, I'm not making that up. That is how I pray. And God answered that prayer. Now, did He bring me certain trials so that I would learn patience? No, the trials would have come anyway. Please don't think you're, who has not prayed that prayer and escaped trials? Would you please raise your hand? Because you need to teach the rest of the seminar. Anyone here not prayed that prayer because they're so afraid of trials, and have you not been in a trial? No. You just go through it without patience. Now, see how stupid that is? The enemy tricks us, making us think, oh, I don't want to pray for patience. I know what that means, because then I might be patient. Then in a trial, I might be calm and at peace and without fear. No, no, I'd much prefer to be impatient. I'd much prefer having my eyeballs pop out of my head and just be a maniac. No, no, I don't want to pray for patience. What are we thinking when we say stupid things like that? I mean, do you see how it makes no sense? We don't think through what we're saying. Ladies, you're going to have trials anyway. Why don't you ask to persevere and to endure? It is a marvelous thing to feel, to honestly feel and believe that you lack nothing. And I don't mean that I don't lack anything. I don't for 1 minute think Debbie has it all. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that my God has it all and I have access to it all through Him. Do you get it? Do you see what I'm saying to you? That's praying according to His Word. And what you don't have, when you see it in His Word, and if you're not in His Word, you won't know that you don't have it. But when you see something in His Word that you don't have, don't stop there. Ask for it. Lord, I want that. Don't stop short. You ask for it. It's very powerful to use God's Word when you pray. It's very powerful when you see it to pray it back to Him. Lord, I want to be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And Lord, I can't imagine considering it joy in a trial, but if that were possible, and it must be because it's in His Word, then Lord, that would be, I can't even imagine life like that. Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall my word be, which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. So does He want us to have patience? That is His word. It will succeed in what He intended it to do, and produce fruit in you. His word is powerful. He created the world by His word. He created that which we see by that which is unseen. His word is His will. Now, ladies, when you pray like that, he's not going to just drop those characteristics into you. Lord, I want patience. Lord, I don't want to be angry. Lord, I don't want to be immoral. He's not just going to go zip, boop, oh, okay, now I'm fine. That isn't how he does it. Sometimes he does. Sometimes I have prayed prayers like that, and it's been a miracle. But other times, he, just like your little baby walking, did your baby, when it first started walking and losing its little balance, did it run a marathon the next day? Of course not. And had it been able to, it wouldn't have had the muscles and the bone structure to do that. It would have hurt that child. God builds these things into us, and he doesn't give you extra trials to do it. He uses the trials that are going to come anyway. They're going to come anyway. Wouldn't it be great to make it count? To make it count, you're going to have to go through it anyway. Make it count for something. Make it count for something. Another example of how I pray according to his word. Have you ever read the word and you don't understand a passage? Don't stop short anymore and say, well, this is confusing. Or close it and say, that is just so, revelation is so ridiculous. I'm just not even going to read that anymore. Don't stop short like that. I begin asking the Lord, what does this mean? What does this mean? I didn't know who I could have called to have asked that question of, so I just asked the Lord, would you show me what this means? It has been an amazing journey. A book might come my way, or a tape, or a message, or a radio. Some days it's the next day that I get my answer. Some days it's a year or two or three later. I love that. God hears you when you pray according to his will. Does he want you to understand his word? Of course he does. So you can ask to understand it, and you can consider it a done deal. It's exciting. When I pray that now, I just get a smile on my face thinking, I cannot wait to see when and how you will answer that prayer. That's exciting to me. I confidently ask my daddy for what I want. You know how you go to the store with your little kid, and they go, please, oh, please, oh, please, can I have that, please? That's what I do to my daddy. Please, God, please, I want to be wise. I want to have discernment. I want to have wisdom and understanding. I want to be patient. You're a daddy's girl. You can have what you ask for when you ask according to his will. Let me give you a visual picture of how I see his word and his will. I love gaudy jewelry. And I've not actually been very gaudy this retreat, believe it or not. I can get much more gaudy than this. I love gaudy jewelry. I love the way it shines. The colors absolutely amaze me. And I used to love diamonds, the real thing, and I gave most of that away except for my wedding ring to my daughters. And it just doesn't have a lot of meaning to me anymore, and let them enjoy it while they're young. But it just fascinates me the way the colors in gaudy jewelry are. That's why I wear it. It's fun, and I love it, and I find a cheap place to buy it. So let's just say that you told me that you had a warehouse, let's just say about the size of Sam's, okay? And you told me, Debbie, I own that place, and it's filled with drawer after drawer after drawer after drawer after drawer of and they're all unlocked. You have full access to it. Take all you want. Just walk through there and take whatever you want of gaudy jewelry. It is yours. I'd have to get a tent and camp out. That would be the most, I can't imagine, a store like Sam's filled to the brim, top to bottom, floor, with gaudy jewelry. I would be in hog heaven. I'd need a dump truck to come and take it all away for me. You got that picture, right? It occurred to me this year that God's word is a vast treasure house filled with treasures. Eternal treasures that will never lose value. It's not gaudy jewelry. It's not cheap. It was very costly. And it will last forever. So when I have this word, Sam's isn't big enough. What I need, a city the size of San Antonio, I don't know how big. It can't be contained. So when I open the word, it is like going through the vast treasuries and God saying, Debbie, you can take whatever you want. There's nothing off limits. There's nothing locked. You can ask for whatever you want in here, darling. It is all yours. All that treasure is yours. Do y'all see that with me? We should be so reverent, so in awe of what we have available to us. I just want to be, you know what my prayer is? I just want to drip with it. I ask the Lord sometimes, just dress me in your word. May I just drip your righteousness. Just dress me in your beauty and in your charm and in your character. Can you imagine? We have that privilege through his word. That is praying according to his will. And yet you and I are seeking the trinkets, the temporary trinkets of this world. And it's all for nothing. We put a value on this temporary garbage. And we are asking for literally garbage when we could be asking for diamonds. It makes no sense. Ladies, that's why you must be in the Word and the Word must be in you so you can pray according to God's will. I have such an awe for his Word, and I want more. I'm asking him for more. Give me more understanding of it. Give me the ability to retain it, to memorize it, to understand it, to speak it, to share it. I'm sure I don't even comprehend the full value of God's Word. We're also to ask according to his Spirit. Romans 8, 26 through 27 says that the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Does that thrill you? The Spirit intercedes for us. He prays for us according to God's will. He prays for you. He knows exactly what you need. And he knows what others need. And he prays for you according to the will of God. Romans 8, 14 and 15 says that we've received in a spirit the spirit of adoption by which we can cry out, Abba, Father, which we can cry out, Daddy. We're his children and he's given us his Spirit. Do you know what his Spirit is? It's his mind. It's the mind of Christ. Do you have a best girlfriend and you say things like, you know, we're just on the same page. We're just of the same mind. We're of the same heart. That's a marvelous gift if you have a girlfriend like that or a husband. Ladies, God has given us his mind. And he's given us his through his Spirit. And we have his word. We can be on the same page with the God of the universe. That is amazing to me. That is just amazing to me. I want to tell you how I pray according to the will of God through his Spirit. Now, I want to give a word of caution here. I'm going to tell you how the Spirit works in my life. I have asked him. We had a little group today, and here's what I told them. This is not something, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, the Spirit, you know. You're not conjuring up a bunch of garbage here. It is based on God's Word. It's very clear. It's not something ambiguous. And I asked the Lord, I want to hear your voice. I want to hear you. The Bible says his sheep will hear his voice. And so I ask him for that. Now, it's not a voice like, hello, Debbie, this is God. That's not the voice. You are always talking to yourself. We've had previous seminars about that. Here's the best description I can give you of when the Spirit is speaking. When you are convicted of sin, for me, it sounds something like, Debbie, you need to apologize. That's his voice. Now, it doesn't sound any different than my voice or my talking in my head. And it's very consistent. It's very quiet. God doesn't say things like, you are such an idiot. Does he talk like that in his word? No. He's always consistent. He's always pretty quiet. Debbie, you need to ask for forgiveness. Debbie, you need to. So you know how it works with conviction, probably. You have felt the Spirit speak to you about something you've done wrong. You know how he sounds. So now I'm asking you to kind of extrapolate that. Sometimes the Lord, you will hear that voice, for lack of a better word, in your heart, and it might be to pray for something. So I want you to understand, when I tell you how the Spirit works in my life, you are not to be a copycat. This is my relationship with the Lord that I'm showing to you. You seek your own. I think the worst thing we do as women is we try to copy each other's prayers. Or we don't pray because so-and-so prays so much better than I do. What is that all about? Your Father wants to hear your precious voice, which doesn't mean you have to pray in public. I'm not saying that. But don't compare yourself and your prayers or how the Spirit works in my life. So there's a big word of caution here. I'm only sharing with you a few things. You go to the Lord and say, Lord, I want you to speak to me. I want you to develop that in me. First of all, this is one way the Lord works in my heart. He presses in. That's the best word I can come up with. It's a heavy pressing in. I used to call it worry or fear. Do you ever have an irrational fear? I see that now as a call to pray. Let me give you an example. I woke up. We had a friend in Haiti. I've told you about him. He's a missionary there, and he was there speaking. And I woke up in the middle of the night, and I felt so fearful. It was irrational. There was no basis for it. I didn't know what was going on. And I instead of worrying meaninglessly, I suddenly realized, you're calling me to pray, Lord. And here's how I talked to the Lord. I said, Lord, I don't know how to pray for him. I don't know what's going on. I'm assuming it's you. If it's not, I don't want to get weird here, so would you just stop this kind of nonsense? If it's you, I need you to speak to me and tell me what to pray for. And then I'm quiet. It's a dialogue. So I'm just quiet for a minute. And the word fear seemed to pop in my head. And I just said, okay, Lord, I'm going to go with that. I just pray that you would give him a spirit of power and of peace and of a sound mind. You've not given us a spirit of fear. That's a scripture, by the way. 2 Timothy 1:7. So I just began to pray for him. I prayed for about an hour, just asking the Lord, help me pray for him. Well, as it turned out, when he got home, he began to describe the story of how he was supposed to speak. It was actually on Easter Sunday, which he had not prepared to do. They asked him at the last minute, and it was going to be televised on national television on a TV station dedicated to Satan. That is an opportunity of a lifetime. And he was terrified. He woke up in the middle of the night. He hadn't had any time to prepare a sermon. And he was beside himself with grief and fear. And he said, suddenly, and we realized it was the same time frame. And he said, I was just filled with peace. I wrote the sermon in about 30 minutes, and I went back to sleep, and then it was amazing. Now, ladies, that's powerful. Now, let me clarify something else for you. Don't look for an experience. Please, please hear me on this. Don't look for some experience. I want to hear this voice and have this experience and have these little stories match up. And, ladies, you are praying because it's about a relationship. Don't look for results. Your goal in praying is to answer the call of your Father. He woke me up. He asked me to pray. I prayed. It was just a blessing that I ever got to know the end result of that. The goal was not to know the result. The goal was to enjoy my relationship with my Father and be obedient. Do you hear what I'm saying? Don't look for results. It's for the joy of obedience. Lord, you awoke me. I'm trusting it was going to produce something, that you had something of value that you wanted me to do. I did it. Good night. Thank you. If I ever know the result of it, that's wonderful. Don't look for any strange experience. And I'm very cautious. I'm a very conservative, I guess you would say, believer. I'm very cautious. I'm not trying to recommend that we get weird and flaky here. I want us to be grounded in God's word. But on the other hand, I am saying, loosen up just a bit and be willing to say, Lord, I do want to hear you. I do want to be the kind of woman that God can speak and then I can obey him. I want to do that. I want to have feet that run swiftly to obey my Father. I also think the Lord works in my life. I've just realized this recently, through the sin of others. He allows us to be around sinners, not to judge them. Not so that they will make us miserable, and sometimes they do, but so that we can pray for them. Think about that. Your precious brothers and sisters, perhaps your husband, children, friends, coworkers, you think they are making my life miserable. It has just dawned on me that God has placed me in the relationship with that person so that I can go to the throne of grace on their behalf saying, oh Lord, open their eyes. Why am I praying that? So my life will get easier? Well, that would be nice. No, I'm praying that because God wants a personal, intimate, inseparable, loving relationship with each one of us. So let's just say Claire is operating in sin. Maybe she's got this horrible temper. And she irritates me because we're good friends and that's bothering me. But really what I'm trying to pray for here is I want Claire to be back in union with her Father. That should be my main goal, is saying, oh Lord, you love her so much, and this sin is separating her from you. I want her to be back in union with you. You should be on your knees praying for these people. And some of us have husbands. And ladies, this is such a spiritual thing, and we think that husbands are meant to make us happy. And ladies, most of them are meant to make us holy and change us. We need to be praying. Do you get irritated because your husband never opens the word and he's not a spiritual leader and you get all huffy and all holier than thou? Well, if you got in the word half as much as I did. We need to be humble, holy servants of God, saying, "Dear God, I beg you to speak to my husband. I beg you to draw him into your heart with a love for your word. I beg you that he would be a man who hides your word in his heart. But God, if he never touches his Bible, if he dies with 2 inches of dust on it, Lord, in the meantime, may I respect and honor my husband with all of my heart as unto the Lord." Because that's what he's called you to do. Do you see what I'm talking about? Praying according to God's will, letting the Spirit lead you. You're not in an accidental relationship with someone in sin. You are there to intercede for them, ladies. That's a call to pray. I have found the Spirit uses, quote unquote, random thoughts. Have you ever had the face of an old schoolmate, maybe from 40 years? Well, you're not that old, but I am. Have an old face, you know, pop up in your head from someone years and years and years ago, maybe first grade or something. Maybe you don't even remember their name. And then it keeps coming. Now, sometimes that definitely is random. It goes in and it goes out. But sometimes it keeps coming. Have you ever had that? Coming and coming and coming. For me personally, I believe that's a call to pray. Now, we don't often know what to pray. A lady's face kept coming to my mind. I hadn't seen her in 45 years. She was my mother's friend. I couldn't remember her name. But every day I would think of this lady. We weren't even that close. And I finally said, "Well, Lord, what is this lady's name?" And her name is Betty. And I said, "Lord, do you want me to pray for her? This is the weirdest thing I've ever experienced." And I just stopped again. I said, "Lord, how can I pray for her?" And I said, "Lord, I just pray that you'd comfort her, that you would be with her, that you would bring her to yourself if she doesn't know you." And I prayed that for many, many weeks. Several months later, I never even go to garage sales. I hate garage sales. I was at a garage sale. And there she was. 40 some odd years. And I said, "You will not believe this," but after we began talking, I said, "I don't know if this sounds weird or not, but I've been praying for you for months, and I don't even know why." And she started crying. And she said, "I've had cancer." And she said, "I just can't tell you what that means to me." See, I don't even know, because we pretty much cut it short, but can you imagine for her to know that God had awoken the heart of somebody that she hadn't seen in 40-some-odd years to pray for her? I don't know what that means to her. Maybe something, maybe nothing. But ladies, that's powerful. See, I want the Spirit to be able to work in my heart like that. One day I was driving down the road a few years ago in our little town in Colorado, and I stopped at a stoplight, and there was a Filipino lady on the corner. I just, you know, kind of randomly looked at her. And we have a tiny, tiny town. I had never seen a Filipino woman. And my first thought was, "Is that my neighbor from Dallas, a Filipino neighbor?" And I was looking at her, and I thought, "No, that's not her." And all of a sudden, all I can tell you can think I'm strange, but it was like the Lord saying, "Pray for her." And I said, "Well, what am I supposed to pray for?" I mean, I was really kind of irritated. And I said, "What am I supposed to pray?" And I just stopped, and I said, "Well, Lord, I pray that you would bless her, and I pray, Lord, I just pray that if she doesn't know you, that you would bring somebody to tell her about you and that she would know you." Off I go. Later that week, my husband and another man and I had decided to go door-to-door evangelism. We went to the trailer park. We knocked on the first door. A man comes to the door, and he said, "Well, no, I've been going to church all my life. I don't know if he thought that saved him, but anyway," he said, "but my wife is a different faith than I am, and I don't think she understands any of that. It happened to be the faith I was brought up in." I went in there, and she and I could communicate great because we had the same background and original faith, and she came to Jesus Christ as her Savior. We get in the car. My husband and his friend are just talking, going, "Oh my gosh, I can't believe it. Oh my gosh, the first door and the first person. Oh my gosh, that's just amazing." And I was sitting back there crying, and I said, "You don't know the half of it. I saw that woman on the corner earlier this week, and I asked God, if she doesn't know you, would you send someone to tell her about you?" And that was me. I don't understand these things. I'm not trying to get you to be weird or to be like me. I'm just saying, ladies, if you ask according to his will, "Lord, I want to hear you," because that's what he wants you to do. And if you ask, "Lord, I want to know your will," and he does too, he will show it to you. And ladies, you will start tapping into eternal purposes and eternal plans that you can't possibly understand. And the joy of it is the relationship. It's just a miracle that I found out about that lady. But the joy is the relationship, not the result. We are also to ask according to faith. Praying in faith means this, that we know what He wants is better than what we want. Praying in faith is this. It's praying and knowing that what He wants is better than what we want, and that He has the power to do what He wants, and we don't. Have you ever prayed a prayer like this? You want something, and you want to pray in faith, because you know if you pray in faith, you'll receive it. And so here you are praying over here going, "Dear God, I believe that You're going to heal me. I do believe that. I have faith in that." And then the other part of you is going, "Gosh, I hope He's believing this. I hope he's, did I say it right? I just wonder if I really believe that. I wonder if I have enough." Have you ever done that? It's like two parts of you are praying. See, that's not, I don't know what that is. Ridiculous would be the first word that comes to mind, but it's not exactly faith. And I think that I do that when I want something that's probably not according to His will. I'm trying to convince Him that I have faith for it. You know what? Faith, for me personally, I believe that faith is knowing He knows what's best regardless of what I see or experience. I pray in faith now knowing, one of the girls in our little afternoon group asked a question, how do you pray for somebody? She was describing a little infant that was very sick. She's a nurse, and she said, sometimes I think to myself, Lord, I want to pray that they're healed, but in actuality, I know and believe in my heart they're better off if they went home with You. So how do I pray? And see what a great relief and freedom it is to say, oh, Lord, I would pray for the life of this child, but Lord, more than anything, I want Your will. And I know that You already know what it is. I don't know how to pray. Oh, Lord, I trust Your will. I trust Your will. You know how come we can do that? Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes most things, all things, to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. How many things?
All things.
I believe, whenever I would say that I believed His will is perfect, there was huge reservation. Even last year, I spoke to you on faith, and there was still a lot of confusion in my heart. I understood a lot of it, but I had been begging Him for 2 years to teach me about faith. I was sick of living in fear. I have lived every second of my life, as long as I can remember, in fear. All of the retreat messages that I have came from a desperate woman seeking to live according to God's will because I was so desperate and so afraid, and He taught me. And so all I've done is share with you what He taught me. God is perfect. I respect His will. I finally get it. I can trust Him no matter what my circumstances are. I trust Him. That doesn't mean things will work out perfectly for me or like I want it to, or that He will bless me and I will have an easy life. It has nothing to do with that. His will is perfect. When my daddy was killed by a drunk driver, do you not know that every night I would cry out, I want my daddy back! I want my daddy back! Now, if you had heard that prayer, wouldn't you, if it had been within your ability, help that poor little girl? Wouldn't you have wanted to save me from an alcoholic mother? That depressing, every day, coming home to a dark house, every single day, she wouldn't let me play with other friends. Now, I don't want you to feel sorry for me. I'm just telling you my life. That was depressing. I was suicidal at a very early age. And then my mother would come home and get drunk the rest of the night. I don't remember too many conversations that were normal. She was mostly slurring her words like that. And you know what? It was as if God was digging this enormous hole in my heart and nothing could fill it. I was empty. No matter what I did, I got more empty. Why did God carve that hole in my heart? It was not to leave me empty. It was to make me full. Don't you see that? He allowed what was hard for me. He allowed what He hated so that He accomplished what He loves.
He allows what he hates to accomplish what he loves. He is more interested in my ultimate good, not my immediate good. And ladies, I would go through it a million times over to have as much of Jesus Christ as I do now. And I'm not trying to claim I have more than you. All I can tell you is I had an enormous hole in my heart, and Jesus filled it. We can't judge circumstances. You cannot look at a circumstance and think God is evil, God is horrible. Look what God's allowed. It's just not right. Of course it wasn't right when I was 11. It is sure right at 53. I wouldn't trade one second of that heartache because I know Jesus better than I know anything. He is my life and my salvation. Ladies, we've got to get over wanting this good life. What we need to want is the God life, not the good life. And I just rest in him. I can't tell you how I'm able to rest in him. The Bible says, seek and you will find. To seek means to have an urgency to search until you find. It's an urgency to search until you find. Most of you, or some of you at least, are seeking the things of this world, an urgent search for riches or men or I don't know what, power, promotions, happiness, and you will never find it. I tried it. It does not work. I had it all, and it was not filling the hole in my heart. Seek means an urgency to find, to search until you find. Let me give you an example. My girlfriend gave me a box of Junior Mints, the giant size box. We love Junior Mints. And being a rather devious person, I wanted to hide them. And if some of you went through your sin inventory, you will know that when you try to hide things, that may be an indication of sin. So anyway, I hid those little candies because I didn't want my husband to see me eat every single one of them. And so I went to get them one day out of my drawer very stealthily, and I opened them up, and I went like this, and they didn't come out because they had melted. Well, now, I was not deterred. So I believe in searching until I find. So I got my little fingers, and I reached in that little box, and I dug it out, and I came up with a big wad of it, and I ate it off my finger, like this. Isn't that gross? I even got under my fingernails. I'm gross. That is searching until you find. I ate every bit that I could that way, off of my fingers, because I wanted those Junior Mints. Now, that's pretty gross. I would tell you something even more gross, but apparently you're not laughing very much, so I'm not going to share everything. I asked my girlfriend, should I share the rest of that story? And she said, only if they laugh a lot. So, okay, I got out all that I could reach in there because I have little tiny hands, and then that wasn't enough for me, and I ripped the box open. I said, they will think I'm a pig. And she said, well, they probably already know that. The reason I share that with you is because that's desperate. It's not to mention weird. And that's a picture of seeking. I want you to be so desperate for God that you are just digging in here, just digging in the Word. Just, I want it, I want it, I want it. I want what you have for me. Did I miss anything? Did I miss anything, Lord? That's seeking. Most of us are content to say, Lord, bless me. Bless my husband and my children. Bless my job and bless my hair. My checkbook. Thank you, God. Amen. And you wonder why you have no power. We were talking today about, which is a great, is it called acronym? Is that what you call it? ACTS, Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, Supplication. And it is good. I'm not making fun of that. It is a good guide. But we can make a procedure out of that, not a relationship. And so we can think, okay, let's see, how do I adore you? You're really magnificent. Okay, confess. Okay, well, I'm sorry I hurt Claire's feelings. Okay, thank you. That I did have a good hair day. And Lord, I pray for a good sleep tonight. Amen. Like a jack-in-the-box prayer. See, we can make a procedure out of it. That's ridiculous. Ladies, we need to seek. We need to be on our knees, willing to work through it. We were talking today in our little group. When you're stuck and you don't know what to pray, start seeking, saying, Lord, I don't know what to pray next. Speak to me. Please speak to me. We are to seek the permanent.
Seeking is only used, listen to this, ladies, in the Bible, when you see the word seek, it is only in reference to the permanent things. Only in reference to the eternal things. Only. You are never to urgently search to find anything that's temporary. Only eternal. The righteousness of God, His kingdom, His person. We are to seek only the things that are eternal. In fact, the Bible says if you seek the things of this world, you will lose them. If you seek your life, you'll lose them. Ladies, you can't hold on to anything you're seeking unless it's eternal. And if you seek, you're going to find. If you seek, you will find. We are to seek His purposes. Ladies, you only find His purpose in His Word. 2 Peter 1:4 says, He has given us His very great and precious promises. That's His Word. So that through them you may participate in the divine nature. Ladies, His purpose is for us to participate with Him. That means co-laborer. That's 2 Peter 1:4. It is our privilege, our high calling. That is His purpose, is for us to work with Him to accomplish His will. We're here for Him to have His way with us, not for us to have our way with Him. We are here for Him to have His way with us, not for us to have our way with Him. Here is my prayer. This year, in my little office that I have, I did have some wonderful times with the Lord. And something I realized in that room, just this sense of awe as I would open His Word, and it made me realize, every day I began to pray, not rote, not like mechanical, but I mean from the bottom of my heart, I would realize and say something similar to, Lord, this is Your day, it is not mine. I was created for You, not for me. I am here for Your purposes today, not for my purposes. That's what I was created for. Lord, I want to be about my Father's business today, not mine. It gave me such awe to realize that I am just the most lowly servant of the Most High God. My only purpose is to please Him and to love Him. Ladies, that's all you were created for. And nothing else is going to count in your life. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I make myself realize that I am the inferior and He is the superior. That I am the clay and He's the potter. That I'm just the most lowly servant of the Most High God. That will really put your day in perspective. And then we're to seek His provisions. Ladies, you cannot expect, I cannot expect that God is going to give us His provisions to accomplish my purpose. I don't want to see a raise of hands, because I might choke you if you do. Does anybody here give their money to their teenager to buy drugs and alcohol? Please don't raise your hand. Of course not. If you do, please stop. And I do know of parents that do. But you wouldn't do that. That's ridiculous. You're not going to spend your money to do something that's poor, that's a bad choice for your child. God is exactly the same way. He's no different. He is not going to give you His resources to accomplish your sinful purposes. And this is where I have totally changed since I last spoke to y'all. I completely get that His will is perfect. I told you that. And here's what I get. If I am in His will, accomplishing His purposes, I have unlimited resources to do that. I never got that, and that's why I have no more fear. I never got that. I was always thinking, gee, I hope He comes through. I get it now. Let me give you the example that hit me. I'm going to use the example of a checkbook. Do you have limited resources? Could anyone here just write unlimited checks? Anyone? I would like for you to raise your hand because I want to be your girlfriend. No. Just kidding. But nobody has unlimited resources. You have to look in your checkbook. You have to make sure that it will cover, the check won't bounce, and all that kind of stuff, okay? God's checkbook, if you will, is unlimited. The Bible describes it as the unfathomable riches of Christ. Unfathomable means you can't figure it out. You can't calculate it. It's Ephesians 3:8, the unlimited resources of Christ. So in the real world, in the human world, do you want Bill Gates' checking account or Debbie Dietrich's? Which would you want? Come on. Bill Gates. It's pretty much unlimited according in human terms. Ladies, it's the same thing. If I am walking in the will of God,
I have all of his provisions available to me. All of them. All of them. He will not withhold what I need to accomplish his will. It is not possible for him to do that. I walk in freedom from fear for the first time in my life because I get it. And here's where I would have problems. I would try to do something, trying to write a check on my intelligence, my wisdom, my abilities, my strength, my power, and I know that it's going to bounce. And then when I wouldn't have the strength or energy, I would try to recruit someone else to help me. I'll draw something from their account, my husband or a friend. And you do that all the time. You're bouncing emotional checks all over the universe. And you're miserable and you're afraid and you're frustrated because you're trying to do all this stuff by yourself. Why isn't anybody helping me? And ladies, we can be over here walking in the will of God with all of his provisions available to us. Let me give you an example. The example is this retreat. After this retreat, I began praying for y'all to invite me back. Now, not because I wanted to come back, which doesn't mean I don't want to come back, but I just felt the Lord leading me to pray that y'all would invite me back. And I began praying for a new message on prayer. And I wanted to deliver it to y'all. Now, a few months later, Tammy calls me and says, Debbie, we would like to invite you to speak on prayer. Now, I should have gone, oh my gosh, that's an answer to prayer. But I was not real smart at the time. I still hadn't quite learned my lesson. In a few weeks, I would have learned it, but I hadn't learned it right then. And I said, well, Tammy, I don't know because it's September, and September is like my rest time. And like I can't write very much. I'm not a very good writer, and you know it takes me forever to write something. And so I don't think I want to spend my whole summer writing. And I've already turned down another retreat for September anyway, so I don't know that that would be exactly. I. And Tammy is so gracious. She said, okay, well, would you pray about it? And I said, yes, and y'all pray about it too. Get a little team together and pray for me. Was it 2 days? Was that on a Friday? Because it seems like it was a Friday to me. But anyway, it was quick. I got into the Word of God, and the first passage I came to was Numbers, where the Israelites went into the Promised Land, and they saw the enemy. The Promised Land that God had promised them. He had answered their prayers. He had given them that land. And what did they come back doing? Exactly what I was doing. Oh, but there's enemies, and they might kill us. We can't go there. We'll die. We'll die. We'll just die. And I said, oh, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. You have answered my prayer. How dare me second guess all this according to my puny checkbook balance? Because if I'm doing the will of God, I have all the available resources to accomplish that retreat. I don't have to worry about it. Ladies, it has changed my life. I can't tell you how it has changed my life. Now, this retreat was hard. It took me 2 months. I'm not exaggerating. And I'm not trying to get your sympathy. I'm not a good writer by nature. And it took me 2 months every day sitting at my computer, with the exception of 2 weeks when our children came to visit us. Every day, sometimes 8 to 10 hours a day. And my husband would leave the house every day so I could be alone, because I can't think straight if I'm distracted. And there were days I sat there crying. But I pushed through. I persevered because I've learned patience, and I would cry. Just a few weeks ago, I said, Lord, none of this makes sense to me. It all is garbage. I don't think one word of it makes sense. I have wasted my time. But you know what I do know? This is your will. And if I am in your will, I have all of your provisions. My account is full. I can draw your abilities to accomplish what you want me to do, so I don't have to worry about this. And I would sit there and just bawling. I wanted to go to lunch with girlfriends. I wanted to be with my husband. I wanted to play. And I said, Lord, you have asked me to do this. I want to do it. So I'm just going to keep writing, keep typing. And I did. That's persevering. And I knew that I had all of his resources to do it. Does that make sense to you? And a year ago, see, I would have been living in fear. I can't do this. See, I know I can't do it. It's not going to work. Just hysterical. That's the way I used to live. And I don't live that way anymore. Doesn't mean you don't become frustrated. It just means that I know 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 that I have all of his resources available to me. Ladies, the account is full. Do you need patience? The account is what? Do you need wisdom? The account is? Do you need to love your husband more and respect him? The account is? Ladies, your account is empty. Quit bouncing checks all over town and start writing them on the matchless, infinite, most powerful Word of God. That is power. That is power. That is seeking. We are seeking all the wrong things. We're seeking a new husband instead of seeking new power from God Almighty, whose account is what? Full. Full. And it doesn't mean it's going to be easy. It just means it's going to count for all eternity. All eternity. That is powerful. I'm kind of excited. Do y'all see that? I can't even tell you how this has changed my life. Because I have to pray every day, Lord, I want to be in the center of your will. What is it? Who do you want me to go to? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do today, Lord? I want to be about my Father's business. And I walk with a full account. I do not have fear anymore. I did a retreat after I learned this message, and I was sick as a dog. I had been sick for a month. I had not been able to talk for a month. Have you ever been so sick when every breath you take, you start coughing? It's that ridiculous cough. You know, you're just gagging. On the way to the retreat, I was doing that. And I was used to, I would have been in tears. I was smiling. I said, I cannot wait. Of course, I was coughing saying that. But I said, I can't wait to see what you're going to do, God. This is going to be amazing. The account is full. You called me to do that retreat. I might do it sick or I might do it well. But I'm fixing to do it because your account is full. And I got into a coughing fit right before I got up, and I just told the woman, you know what? This may take 4 hours because I may cough every sentence. But you know what? We're going to do this thing. Would y'all just pray for me right now? And I never coughed again until I was finished speaking. I only coughed when I was not speaking. It's an amazing thing to be free in the will of God. It's amazing. Knock and it shall be opened to you. Last thing. When you knock on someone's door, what are you going there for? Have you ever, of course, as a teenager, you would randomly knock on someone's door, but surely you don't still do that. When you knock on someone's door, you are there to see them personally. It is a personal quest. I mean, you're there to see that person, not their home, not their, you're there to see them. That's why you knock on a door. I had a friend, and I was in Colorado a few years ago. Her name is Betsy Music, and another friend, Michelle Johnson, and we were praying. I was fixing to go back to Texas. So we just said, well, girls, how can we pray for one another during the time that we're separated? And Betsy Music said, she said, well, I guess just pray for me that Jesus would be all that I need. I could not get that phrase out of my head. It bounced around the walls of my brain, kind of like a marble rolling back and forth, you know. I couldn't stop thinking about what would a life look like? What would my life look like if Jesus was all that I needed? What would a life be like if he was all I needed and I could have all of him I needed? And I changed my prayer. I began saying, Lord, I want you to be all that I need. I want you to be all that I need. And it was as if I suddenly realized something. Now, this took several weeks of prayer, but it was as if I suddenly realized Jesus had been with me all along since I'd accepted him as my Savior. But it was as like he lived in my house and he lived in this room, but I had bricked off the door. He was there and I could hear him. I mean, I could hear him in there, and we would talk through the wall sometime. Hello, God, are you still? And we would, you know, converse, but he was always behind the wall. Which was very convenient for me because I could carry on my real life and be separated from him whenever I felt like it. I could kind of have my private life and my godly life. It was as if he was a piece of my pie, not the pie. But sometimes, I would hear a message, or I would hear a speaker, or I would hear a tape, or I would read a book, and sometimes I would get a glimpse of eternity. Have you ever been there? And you see it and you feel it. You can just almost taste it and you think, that's something I've been looking for. They are describing something that I want, something I've been desperately seeking. I think I get something. I think I have something. And I would be walking towards that. And then it was like real life just came in and knocked my feet out from under me. You've been there. And you think, oh, I just knew it wouldn't last.
Then a few months would go by, maybe even years, and it would happen again. And I would hear it, and I would see it. I could just see eternity, and I would think, that now that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I want. And I would have a little bit more information to last a little bit longer in this spiritual sort of thing. But then real life would come again, and it would knock my feet out from under me and ruin everything. And I would think, oh! But when I began praying that prayer, here's what I realized. That brick wall is my sin and my will and my purposes. Me seeking the temporary things of this world, and it no longer held any value to me. He changed my heart. And I wanted to tear down that brick wall, brick by brick, and I didn't care if I had to do it with bloody stubs. Can you imagine if there was a tornado and your children or grandchildren were trapped under the rubble of bricks and crying, help, nanny, help? If you had your arms cut off, you'd be doing your teeth and you'd do whatever you could to pull those precious things out of there. And that's the way I felt about Jesus. I would do anything to get eyeball to eyeball with him. Nothing separating us. I don't ever want to be away from him. Do you see what I'm saying? That is knocking and having the door open to you. That changes everything. That makes him the pie. That makes him your life. And that makes you totally with him, abiding in Christ every second of every minute of every hour of every day, living for his purposes, accomplishing eternal things that you can't even comprehend right now. And when you are doing that, guess what? The account is full. You have all of his power and all of his resources to accomplish his will. Let me give you another picture. Let's just say that you wanted to hire a maid. You wanted to do some fall cleaning. And you called a woman and you said, would you come to my house from 8 o'clock to 4 o'clock and I will pay you $125. I want you to work side by side with me cleaning my house. I have all the equipment that you need. You won't need a thing. Just come and show up and work with me. I'll pay you $125. When that lady pulls up at 7:45, she notices that your shutters, the paint is all coming off. It's all peeling and awful looking. It just looks awful. So she doesn't knock on your door. She takes it upon herself saying, you know what, this lady really, I don't know about her house, but she needs her shutters painted. So she gets back in her car. She uses her money, writing her checks, getting all the materials, all the paint, all the paintbrushes, all the ladders, all the scraping stuff, the whole nine yards. She goes and she buys it all, and she kills herself working all by herself all day, scraping these shutters and priming them and painting them. And then at 4 o'clock, she knocks on the door. She says, well, I finished my hard job, and I'd like my money, please. And the lady says, well, you did a good thing, but you know that's not what I hired you for. Some of us will end up that way in heaven. Some of us are doing these wonderful, good things that God didn't hire you to do. Didn't ask you to do them. Didn't equip you to do them. And you're frustrated and angry and miserable because you don't have the strength and you don't have the power and nobody's helping you. Well, guess what? Did God ask you to do that? Because if you're in the will of God, you're going to be working with him. And you will have all the available resources of heaven to accomplish his will. And guess what happens at the end of the day? There's a great reward. Prayer is so that we can accomplish the will of God. And we don't have a clue. I believe with all of my heart that we don't even have a clue. Sometimes we get little glimpses of eternity and God at work. And all he's asked us to do is to follow him and to pray according to his will, and he will give us everything we need. I have a website, www.followinghim.com. I started doing it, I think we started working on it in January, and really, I didn't tell anybody about it. This is the first time I've ever told anybody about it. I sent out a prayer letter last week, and it had it in it. But so that's 9 months. Because this guy did it, you know, in his free time, and it was a gift to me. So it just took a long time to get it done. No one knew about that. And one of the things this guy asked me about, he said, do you want to put your audio CDs online so people could listen free? I said, that's a great idea, but I cannot imagine anybody wanting to do that. I mean, I don't care if they do that. He said, well, let's do it. It doesn't cost anything, and that'll be a good thing. I said, okay. So it's just been sitting there. We've been working on all this time. A few weeks ago, I get a letter from a lady. She says, dear Debbie, I've been listening to your audios online, and suddenly they're not there anymore, and I just wondered if you knew what the problem was. And I'm like, huh? And so I wrote her back, you know, like I knew what was going on. And I said, well, I'll get with my web guy right away. And I said, and I'm just curious, how did you happen on this site? It is new, and I've not told anyone about it. You know, I'm kind of curious. So she writes me back. She says, that's a very interesting story. She said, I was very disturbed and struggling about something, and I went to my church, and I ran into a friend of mine, and I began sharing my struggle with her. And she said, you know what? I have been listening to some audio tapes, and you need to listen to them. They're online, and you can listen to them. She said, here's what happened to me. I, too, had a struggle. I've had a struggle for years. I have cried out to God for years to help me with a struggle. And he answered me. And I've been listening to these CDs, and in an instant, the light came on in my heart, and God transformed my thinking, and I'm healed. These are her words. She's telling her friend this. Those were my audios. And she said, but the interesting thing is how she happened onto your audio page. She said she had been praying for months about this struggle, asking God to help her. And one night she had a dream. And in this dream she met a professor that she hadn't seen in a long time. And his parting words were, well, be sure and email me at www.followinghim.com. The next day she's pondering her dream and she's thinking to herself, that's not an email address. That's a website. I wonder what that is. And she gets on there, and she clicks on the audios, and God, in her words, a light came on in her head. God transformed her thinking and healed her of something she'd struggled with for years. Why am I telling you that? Not so that you'll think, wow, Debbie's audios are pretty cool. Do you realize what I just said? I read that in the middle of the night. I felt like God awoke me to pray, to be honest with you, and I got up, and I thought, I'll check email first. I sat there having read that story, and I cried for hours. And I cried the whole next day. I was speechless. Do you realize what I just said? One woman prayed earnestly, seeking, God, please heal me from this. I don't know what it was. And he answered her prayers in a dream. He doesn't need you and I. He just chooses to let us participate with him. That amazed me that he answered that woman's prayer. That was a hard day that I had just spent writing that day. I'd cried all day at that computer thinking, God, I don't want to do this, but I'm going to be obedient. And it was as if God spoke to my heart saying, Debbie, I do use you. And it may just be to one woman, but I need you, that you let me say it through you. So I need you. Just be obedient. Just do what I ask you to do. Ladies, pray, seeking the master, the maker of the universe. Ladies, we have power, untold power, untold power. Let's just end in prayer. Lord, I just love you so much. Lord, we are all the most lowly servant of the Most High God. We were created for your purposes and not for ours. This is your day and this is your night. It's not ours. Lord, I beg you to make us ever mindful that we are part of an eternal plan that we can't even fathom. Lord, I pray that we would follow you every second of every minute of every hour of every day, and that we would learn to draw from your unlimited, unfathomable, powerful resources. Oh God, may we live by faith and not fear. May we be women that pray and pray and pray and pray, seeking your will, not ours. God, change our hearts. We beg you. I beg you. I beg you. In Jesus' name, amen.